Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the teaching series on the prophet Daniel. This message is entitled Part 10, Preparation for the Final Vision. At the end of today's recording, I will tell you how to obtain a copy of today's sermon. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, January 28th, 2007. And today we're going to look at chapter 10 in the book of Daniel. And I call this Preparation for the Final Vision. So let's stand and let's pray as we get into the message today. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now once again for opening the Word of God to us. And Lord, we are a hungry people. And I want to thank you and praise you right now, Father, that you are doing something in our lives. That we will leave a mark in this world. That when we are gone, there will be something left behind. People who have been saved that will continue to witness and to minister. Be fruit from our labor. But most of all, Father, today, open the scripture to us now and give us understanding. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who agreed said, Amen. You may be seated. I would like you to take and turn with me to the book of Daniel. And this is chapter 10. That's the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter. And we're going to begin here to look upon the historical setting. Daniel, at the time when this was written, was currently the primary advisor for the Babylonian king. Yet the time is for the perspective of King Cyrus of Persia. Cyrus began his reign in 550 B.C. Therefore, this vision took place in 547 B.C., 8 years before the fall of Babylon. Let me see if I can put this in perspective for you. Let's say that we have a president of the United States. We have enemies. We used to have a Soviet Union, so let's pick on a Soviet Union. And one day, the president gets a vision from God, and he finds himself in the vision. The time is set from the leader of the Soviet Union, the arch enemy of our country, which it was at that particular time. And then he would notice that in 8 years, the Soviet Union will simply conquer the United States and we will become a Soviet slave state. This is the setting for Daniel. As he was a prime minister, he was serving a king there. If you read from verse number 1 in Daniel 10, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. Iran is going to play a very vital role in history in our lifetime. All of us have heard and understand that Iran is developing nuclear weapons. As I've been reading, information coming in from Israel continuously, almost on a daily basis, the Israeli government has made a decision that it is just a matter of time when they will take out the nuclear capacity of Iran. When it happens, there's going to be a lot of repercussions in the world. I believe you might be paying $6 a gallon for gas at that time, if not more. This could be a lot of implications. And right now, as we're looking forward in time, again, Persia, Iran, is a focus point. And it is going to affect the way we live and what we are going to do in the future. It could be within the next week. It could be within the next 6 months. We do not know. Remember this. When Saddam Hussein developed a nuclear reactor, he was working on a nuclear bomb. Suddenly, Israel sent their fighters over, and they simply creamed that factory in 1981. Not factory, but the nuclear power plant. Destroyed it. That quick. We just woke up one morning and read in our papers that they had been in Iraq and bombed it. At that time, Saddam had nothing to come back with. The Iranians got things they can come back with. So we need to pray and ask God to push that as far down the road as possible so we can continue to preach the gospel. The next thing we want to look upon is that Daniel had been fasting for 21 days. If you read from verses 2 and 3, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. What about prayer and fasting? How efficient is it? Does it work? Daniel was concerned here. I have to hear from God. I need to hear from God. For 21 days, he fasted, he prayed, he heard nothing, but he stayed with it. Let me share a story with you right now from last week. Last Sunday, I talked here from the pulpit about an accident that took place on I-80, just between Fairfield and Vacaville. And there was a number of people that died in that accident. It was a freak accident where someone lost their car out of control, jumped the median, and came into the eastbound traffic and hit an SUV to begin with that burst into flames. The driver died immediately and then killed a few other people. So we thought about that. Well, this week, there was an obituary in the paper here in town. And I looked upon that. It was large write-up. And the driver in this SUV that had died was a woman from the Sacramento area. She was 39 years old, a mother of 2 children, ages about 8 and 11 years old. And she was a grief counselor for the Catholic system here, hospitals in town. This is Mercy downtown. And she worked particularly with cancer patients, where she would help them to grieve and to get comfortable and so on. And being a Catholic, she did probably the best she could. Then a family member living in the Oakland area had died. And it was a grandfather to the family. So Saturday, she decided to drive down to minister to her family in Oakland, to come back home. Her husband was doing things here, chilling out, doing things. It was just a normal Saturday drive. And of tens of thousands of cars going down on 80, I mean, it's always busy. For some reason, when that car flew over the divider, it was her car that took it. At the age of 39, she left this planet and went into eternity. The reason I'm sharing that with you is simple this. Did she know when she left that I will never make it? I'm going to die between Vacaville at Fairfield. She didn't know that. I'm sure she simply said to her husband, you know, I'll be home, you know, and be sure to feed the children. And, you know, we will do this and that tonight. And she got plans for the next day, Sunday. But she never came back. You and I got to live in such a way that we recognize that today could be my last day on this planet. We never know from time to time when things will happen. Now, we pray for protection for everyone attending this church. And for years, we have been spared and God has blessed us where no one has had major accidents in this church. But I'm thinking, if that woman could come back from the dead, do you think that she would live life normal? I don't think she was saved. She would come back and she would say to her husband, we're going to change the way we live. She would say to her children, we're going to change the way we do things here. We need to seek God. We need to tell other people about Christ. There is a hell. There is something there. But you know, they can't come back from the dead. But we had one that did. His name is Jesus. He also raised up Lazarus. I think what we should do is when we come to things, is we should look around us and see our friends and say, I'm going to pray for that person this week. I'm going to fast for that person. You might never know what will happen, but if God's people began to fast, something would happen. Do you understand what will happen if we have a nuclear war in the Middle East? When the Israelis will take off, and they have already decided, and they are talking about this, they're going to use tactical nuclear weapons, what they call bunker busters, that there's going to be probably 100,000 people killed in a first initial air attack. 100,000 people. The Iranians are not going to take it. They're going to attack. There's going to be all kind of problems and lots of people are going to die. Do we understand that? Probably not. How many churches are praying for that situation today? Probably not too many. Why are we not more concerned? Because for some reason, we have not understood the awfulness of hell and later the lake of fire. If we knew that, if we believed it, we would live in a different way. In verse number 4, we find out where he was. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I, Daniel, was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, or today it is known as Tigris, that's the river that runs straight through Baghdad today. Thus, that location, when he had his vision, was in Babylon. Let's look upon the angel now. I really got excited when I wrote this here, got this for the Lord, because I'd like for us to move into the supernatural. The angel came to Daniel in his full power. He crossed over from the dimension of the spirit world and did not conceal his superior power that does not exist in a physical world. Verses 5 and 6. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ephrath. His body also was like the beryl, his face the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as a lamp of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. How real is the spirit world? It's actually more real than the physical. I want to share something with you now that some of you might say, well, I'm far out. That's okay. Your chair will hold you. I have a friend. I got a pastor friend. His name is Gordon Ginn. He's a conservative Baptist preacher. Very conservative. This story goes back probably about 25 or 30 years ago. But they had a UFO experience between Williams on I-5 today and up to Yuba City. It was written up in the papers. It was a blimp one day, and of course then everybody came down and debunked it and said this didn't happen, and so on and so on. So he decided now, a conservative Baptist minister, he said, now I'm going to look into this. So there was a farmer and his wife living out there someplace in the field, rice fields. And he went to him and his wife. And he told me the story. He simply said this, that farmer was not lying. He said he was shook. He said he and his wife suddenly realized the electricity went out. And there were some power grids and the whole area went out. As they went outside, they saw this flickering light, moving body that was flying over. And the power was so immense coming out of this that it literally destroyed all electrical circuits in the area. Nothing worked. Not even a car worked. And then, as it disappeared, of course, that power disappeared too. Now, this is a demonic experience. This is a demonic experience. But he was for the spirit world. This angel, now, when he came in, he could have closed himself up and come like a man, begin to look upon this. But God wanted him to come in his full power to show the power of God. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis, the 18th chapter. Some of you might say, well, you know, why was that particularly flying object, UFOs, up in a little town like Yuba City and Sutter and so on in that area? Well, we got a huge Air Force base up there, but a lot of activities. And they have had a lot of demonic manifestation around our bases, particularly the Air Force bases. In Genesis 18, verse number 1 now, we read the following. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, as Jesus now, and he sat in a tent in the heat of the day, that's Abraham. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. Three men. And he said, my Lord, if I now have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Let the water, I pray you, be fetched, wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. Now we'll fetch you a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that you'll pass on. Therefore you come to your servant. And he said, so do as you have said. In this case now, Jesus Christ and two angels came in a form of men. They had concealed or closed up their spiritual power. Later you find in the chapters on, they came to Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus didn't go, and two angels went there. And they destroyed those cities completely. If you turn out to the Gospel of Luke, that's the Gospel of Luke, and we look in chapter 1 and verse number 26. That's Luke chapter 1, and we look in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God at the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, "Hail, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Here now was a young woman, between 16 and 18 years of age, laying in bed at night, and suddenly an angel appeared, not in full glory, concealed, and he said, "You have been selected." I've told you before that each one of us have a number of angels that have been with us since the day of conception. This whole room right now is full of angels. Each one of our angels, some had two or three or four, we don't know how many we got. And right now they are resting as we are worshiping here, looking at the Word of God, they take a break. And when we leave, our entourage of angels go with us. Sometimes I wish we could see them. It would be nice if I could hit the button right here and this whole room would light up and you would see all these angels around the walls with flaming swords and you shining there, you standing there, you would say, "Well, why was I scared of the devil? Look what we got." If you only could understand how powerful these angels are. They love God. And God has put a love in their hearts for us. Your angels and my angels were assigned to us at the moment of conception. At the moment we were conceived, there was angels there protecting that one cell. And then as it began to develop inside the womb, they were there protecting it. They were there when you were born. They've been with you all these years. And you will find that the judgment time will be before Jesus Christ. You're going to see the many automobile accidents that you were spared from. You will see all the time when somebody tried to kill you. And the angels were there and you fought them off. And you're going to say, "Wow, I wish I would have known that then." But praise God, I don't really want to know what's going on behind the scenes. I just like them to take care of the dirt while I'm doing my business. Angels are real. And they're here to minister to us. Let me give you a bonus scripture, Hebrews. And we're going to turn to chapter 1. Hebrews, the first chapter. If you read verses 13 through 14. "But to which of the angels said he," that's God, "any time, sit to my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" There you have it. Next time you walk into your office, or you work at your job site, or whatever you are, remember this when you walk in. Don't walk in with your head hanging down and say, "I'm going to get beat up again." Walk up knowing this, that your bodyguard is following you. Your angels are in front of you. They're just moving the demons out of the way. Have you ever seen the President of the United States when he's walking someplace and he walks with his head down like this and kind of scared and saying, "I'm kind of scared." How's a president, I don't care if he's Democrat or Republican, they walk, you know, like they're very confident walking in. Why? Because they got Secret Service agents all around them. And they know if anyone lifts a finger, that agent will pull his gun and he will do some air conditioning in that person. He knows that. So he's confident. Next time when you walk around, actually from today, walk with your head high, knowing this, I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I got a bodyguard second to none. I'm going to take a lift from no one. And I'm going to be praising God. I'm going to pray down the power. Back on the outline there. The power radiating from this angel was so strong that even if Daniel's servant could not see him, they began to shake and fear fell on them, with the result that they ran away to hide themselves. Look in verse 7 of Daniel 10. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. There was a power field there. I have experienced that. Years ago, we were baptizing down in the Rancho Cordova area. Church was in Carmichael. And I remember I was down in the swimming pool. I don't remember where I baptized. We had a number of people that was in a pool. And suddenly as I prayed for this person before we were put him under, I simply felt my legs begin to buckle. We couldn't stand in the water. I mean, the person being baptized and myself, I just felt my power just went out, and I knew I'm going down in the water. I can't stand. And two or three of my men there had to jump in with their clothes and simply hold us up as the power was just surging through us. And we stood there and swayed in the water. And then finally I was able to get the person down and get him back up again. I could not explain that. It was not scary. But it was such an anointing coming down that my physical function was shutting down. I couldn't stand. My legs just buckled. From time to time, we see not here when we pray for somebody. They simply are laid out because the power of God is coming down. There can also be a power from the devil. Let's look now upon God's laws concerning His creation. The laws of the spiritual dimension always supersede the physical laws of the universe. When this happens on the earth, man calls it a miracle. Let's look in 2 Kings chapter 20 to begin with. 2 Kings chapter 20, and let's begin in verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He was a king. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "This is the Lord. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." How do you like if a prophet comes in and say, "Okay, put your house in order, you're going to die, sign your will, get ready"? Hezekiah was a man of God. In verse 2 he says here, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I walked before you in truth, with a perfect heart, have done that which is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. He wanted to live. He wanted to do some more things for God. He prayed. He meant it. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, this is the Lord, the God of David, your father. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto your days 15 years. And I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs," and he took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said, I see him. Now, here's a man out of prayed. The prophet came back and said, okay, God changed his mind to give you 15 more years. Hezekiah said, now how do I know this is true? What should be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day. And Isaiah said, this sign shall you have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall his shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Let me explain that. They had a sundial. They didn't have watches like we do. There was no electricity. They had simply sundials. And the shade would simply move and they would know what time it is. And Isaiah said, now, do you want God to move time forward or do you want God to move time backwards? And Hezekiah answered, verse 10, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. We don't know if you felt it was easy for the time to go forward. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord. And he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, but which had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. 10 hours. Now I want you to think about this. What did God do? Did God simply take the sun and move that? Did God take the earth and move that? You know, I heard one explanation. And I give it to you, it's a funny one, that all the earth, the different continents are floating, they're floating on molten lava or magma under the earth. And God simply slid the plate back. How did God do the miracle? We don't know. But God actually caused time to go backwards for 10 hours. Now, what would you think? Right now, we got about 12:30. If suddenly, this will be about 4:30 in the morning. Black out there. What time is it? 4:30. What happened? No one knows. God is in the supernatural. Get God out of the box and begin to think this. With God, all things are possible. You need a miracle, God can give it to you. It doesn't matter what it is. I've been sharing this miracle, but I might not have shared it with this congregation. I was in Lodi pastoring, 1975. I believe we needed about $1,500 or something like that, close to that. And we were a smaller congregation than this. And we said, God, the church needs that money right now. We prayed hard and we took an offering. And people gave. And as they counted the offering, it might have been $1,100. But they found $11 or $15 $100 bills, crisp, not a wrinkle on it, laying in the offering plate. We looked around and said, who gave that cash? No one claimed it. No one said, you know, well, I put the cash in. To this very day, I don't know if God simply was in the business of saying, well, I'm going to make a few greenbacks. But we got the money. Don't disregard anything. Years ago, I saw my wife praying over almost an empty bottle of milk. And I saw God fill that bottle up so we had milk there for our breakfast. She had faith. Let me have you turn out to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew, the 8th chapter. You read this. When he, Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, but you're clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Think with me now. Here's a man with leprosy, skin broken, oozing out of it, all kind of gook, flesh missing from him. If you've seen leopards, the chunks fall off them. And Jesus said, I will. Boom! That man had a new body. Now the trace of leprosy. Instantly. How did it happen? I don't know. God spoke through Jesus Christ and it happened. Remember this. The spirit world supersedes the physical world. Do you think a leopard said, well, look at this. I don't have any more sores. How long will this last? There's a lot of people say, you know, they don't believe it's going to last. He simply began to praise God. In verse 5. And when Jesus was entered the Capernaum, they came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick and palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having souls under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes; to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I said to you that many should come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom should be cast into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus unto the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Look at that key verse. Go your way. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. How many of us here today can look back and say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever time it was, we had a great need. It looked impossible. It looked like everything was over. It couldn't be fixed. And today it has been fixed. And you're saying, you know, God answered that prayer. Each one of us got a testimony like that. Each one of us. The problem is we forget it. We simply says, well, that was yesterday, you know, but I'm not sure that God's going to come through again. And my question to you is this, how old are you? And you might say, well, I'm 25, I'm 35, I'm 57, whatever it is. I said, how many years does God have to prove to you that he will not let you down? 75 years? Or could you trust God after 23 years? It's all up here. And then, you know, soul and spirit, man. Go your way. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And when Jesus was come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Did Jesus give that lady the aspirin? Did he give her a sponge bath, cool her down? He simply said, I rebuke that fever. What evil must come? They brought to him men that were possessed with devils. Now people got excited. They said to him, when we got a good thing going, let's go for it. And he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. How many did he heal? All. He cast out the demons. Why? That he might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. Supernatural. Living in the spirit world. Turn to the Gospel of John now, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. You see, the problem with us, most of us, is we live in the physical world. We can't get into the spirit world. In John 11, I wish I would have been there at that time. Verse number 38, we read this. Lazarus had died now. He's in the grave. Jesus, therefore, again groaning himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Now, what will you do if God tells you to go down to the funeral home? Have you got Mr. Jones laying down there, and God is telling you, go in, tell that funeral director to open up the casket, get him out, actually, the freezer department, and raise that guy up. You would say, well, is it easy to raise up someone who's been dead 1 minute, 1 day, 3 weeks, 2 weeks? What's easier? Same. So now the people simply said, you know, he's been dead for 4 days. He's gone. Look at verse 40 now. This is for us. Jesus said unto her, Martha, said I not unto you, that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God. He's saying that to you and me today. If you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. But God, you don't know how ugly my son is. You don't know how bad my daughter is. You don't know how bad my wife or husband is. You don't know the circumstances. God says, I have no circumstances. Don't exist in heaven. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I knew that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, it said it, that they might believe that you have sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound by with a napkin. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. We need to say this to ourselves. God, loose me and let me go in your power. Now turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3. As you look upon these examples here, the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, we start in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up to get to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid dead at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered to the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to get to the temple, asking alms, for he wanted some money. He wanted cash. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Peter and John, just ordinary people. They said, we don't have any silver and gold, but give me your hand and I'll raise you up. And immediately, that man's body was healed. Here's what God wanted me to share with you today. The good news. Not only has God given His people the right to tap into spiritual power, but we are supposed to live and operate in the spirit realm all the time. Think about that. When you drive, when you eat, when you work, wherever we go, God wants us to be in the spirit world with a spirit of flesh in the world so He can cross over and give us miracles on a daily basis. Amen. This is what God wants. Turn to Mark chapter 16. These are old time scriptures we've used many times. The Gospel of Mark chapter 16. And we pick it up in verse 14. Afterward, He, Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as He sat at meat, they were eating dinner, and He upbraided them. In other words, He simply rebuked them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Does He say here now, and these signs shall follow the ministers, the elders, the deacons? It says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. That's every one of us. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, He shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is in the supernatural. What Jesus said, this is where I want you to live. This is how I want you to live. You know, we just drove by in Roseville Friday. And I saw this huge Kaiser hospital complex. I mean, that was big before, and they built another huge facility. Probably another 200 rooms. And I thought, business must be booming. The sick are coming in. Or they wouldn't build it. And you know, wouldn't there be something if we would have such a power to pray that there would no one be going to the hospitals? We might get sued under the American Medical Association saying, you know, we're practicing medicine without a license. But seriously, I mean, they're building more hospitals. We're building more prisons. We're building all these containing things to take care of the problems, when the solution is get saved and let God take care of the situation. How did the early church do? Well, if you look in verse number 19, so that the Lord has spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven, set to the right hand of God, and they, the people, went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming their word with signs following. Amen? What did Jesus confirm? The people know but the word. Now, here's what God says. You speak the word. I confirm it. That's it. You speak the word, I confirm it. But you see, we don't want to really speak the word because He says, well, I'm not sure God would hear me. And I don't want to be embarrassed if something does not happen, you know. They might not get healed. And then people say, see, you don't have any faith. So I want to be quiet. I've shared with you before, there are three types of people on this earth. First, we had a group that are called to criticize. That's their job, is to criticize anything that is done. Then you have the group that simply says, well, I don't want to be criticized, so I will not do anything. And then you have those that says, I don't care if I'm criticized, I'm going to do something. Three types of people. Is it hard to criticize? Not at all. You don't need a degree in criticizing. I mean, it comes automatically. Open your mouth and say, hey, you should have done this, you'd have done that. If I would have been you, I would have done so yesterday. Well, where were you yesterday then? Everybody's criticizing our policies right now in Iraq. Have you noticed this? No one has a solution. They're all saying, this is wrong, this is wrong. You ask them, well, what should we do? Let's not talk about that right now. God wants to move. Turn to Romans chapter 8 now. Some of you might be excited enough that it will last you by the time you get to the elevator. And by the time you get down there, you remember how bad things were at home. And you says, oh boy, here we go again. Come back next week for another pump up. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. We got a cross up here. It's a pretty cross. Nice layout. On the cross Jesus hung, we believe that. We believe He died, He was taken down, laid in the grave. We believe He was resurrected on the third day. The power of God came through Him. But look at this verse now. But if the Spirit of Him, that's God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. That's you. If you have been born again, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is pulsating right now through your body. It's just pushing in your body from all directions. The same resurrection power. But you see, to get it to work, you got to activate it. We got lights in here. They happen to be on. Isn't that something? Got light coming down. Isn't that amazing? Where's the power come from? I don't know. Come from some power plant someplace. Where they was at. But you know what? When you walk into a room, at home it's dark, you look at that power switch, and you don't hesitate to say, well, I wonder if the electric company today will let me down or not let me down. I wonder, will I have power today? Well, I don't know if I want to hit the switch there because there might not be any power there. So you stand there in front of that switch and go, should I? Should I not? Should I? And then finally you get brave and just flick it, you know. Oh, lights, come on, glory to God, hallelujah, you got power. That's how we act with the Spirit power. We have a button to activate the Holy Spirit. And we simply say, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know the Bible that well. I don't speak that eloquent. I don't know how to pray that, you know, wonderful prayers when you pray to God, you know. But God's intelligent. He didn't say to you to pray in a special way. He said to pick up the phone and call me. When you call a friend, do you say, greetings, my lovely friend. This is your brother so-and-so calling you in the name of the Lord. Now, it so happened to be that I have a great need that I hope that possible we can have a solution for. But you know, I don't want to burn you down with any complicities or anything hard. He said, "How do you talk to your friends? You call up and say, 'Hey, man, I need this. What about that?' You just talk." That's how we talk to God. Begin to tell Him this. "Lord, I got the resurrection power in my life. I want to activate that." Look at verse 12 now. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live unto the flesh. For if you live unto the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not yet received the Spirit of bondage into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, the heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Some 4 years ago, we came to our church in Antelope on Sunday morning, and I was met by Sotiris. He said, "There are some Swedes here." I said, "Really?" And there was a man and a woman and a child sitting there on the back row. So I went up and said hello to them. And sure enough, they were Swedish. And they had known about our ministry for probably 20 years. And they had flown specifically, without telling us they were coming, they flew into Sacramento because they wanted us to pray for certain things in their lives. The lady had a demonic problem. So I found out that the man also was a tennis player. He was a professional tennis player. And he said, "I got injured and I'm now on disability the rest of my life." He looked pretty healthy. So we were talking to him, I said, "Well, when we work with your wife," I said, "we should pray for your healing too." He said, "Oh, no, 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 don't pray for my healing." He said, "I'll lose my money." He was serious. What they had done was simply, he had an injury. The insurance company sat down and figured out he was a prominent player. If he would have played on for 30 years, how much money would he have made? We're talking to him maybe about $10, $20, $30 million. That's how much he would have made. So the insurance company said, "Okay, we're going to take that lump sum here, divide it up, and every month you got a check for so many dollars a month, and you have that as long as you live." And the guy said, "Thank you very much. I don't have to work anymore." He got excited. I said, "Man, God can heal you." He said, "Don't touch me. I don't want to be healed. I got my life planned out." There's a lot of people don't want to get healed. They don't want any changes. They want to stay drinking that alcohol, taking those pills, popping that thing, going to the doctor because they want sympathy. They don't want to get well. What an awful way to live. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." We don't fight in the flesh. We fight in the spirit world. Our weapons are spiritual. When you pray, something will happen. It might not happen right away, but something is happening. Let me get back to Daniel right now. The spiritual power, radiating from the angel, overpowered the electrical system in the body of Daniel, and he fell to the ground. Verses 8 through 9. "Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my countenance was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep, my face, and my face toward the ground. when we encounter the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to feel it. It's going to saturate you. Back to the outline. People are slain in the Spirit because the strong force feeds from the Spirit dimension is interfering with the electrical flow of the body's nervous system. And the Holy Spirit, God's holy angels, an evil spirit can produce a force field. But remember this, Satan can and will counterfeit the power of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And just verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves to the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore is no great thing if his minister also be transformed as a minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I let you read 2 Thessalonians and Revelation for yourself. Back to Daniel now, verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto you am I not sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to the stand, to chasten yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I'm come for your words. Let me give you this encouragement right now. When you pray, immediately, God is answering your prayer. When you come to God, the Father says, Father God, this is my need. This is what we have here. This is what we got there. In the name of Jesus, please grant it. God said, grant it. It's done in heaven. The problem now is to get through the demonic world. So you got a disease. And you say, well, I don't know if that will be taken care of. There is nothing God cannot do. Nothing. There's only one thing he can do. He can't fail. Daniel is informed that the satanic prince, or Archon, who was ruling the nation of Persia, made war with God's angel, so that he was not able to break through to Michael. A high-ranking Archon in God's service came with his battle force and knocked out Satan's Archon and his armed forces. Verse number 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia would still be 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. We have spiritual wars. The angels need our prayers. The more you pray, the more you fast, the more power God gives his angels. In this case, it took 21 days of one man praying, seeking God, fasting. And God increased the power of his angels, and finally they just obliterated and kicked the demons out. And they came. Verse 14. Now I'm come to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. I'm going to be speaking when we finish up Daniel on spiritual warfare for some weeks to come. But I was taken in a vision years ago, and I could kick myself. I didn't write it down, and I only remember glimpses of it. But I remember I was taken up, I saw in a vision, a huge square skyscraper suspended over Sacramento. And it was full of satanic entities, fallen angels and powers. And it was revealed to me there that this was a power center over Sacramento, holding down and simply squashing things in the city. Over every city, there is a demonic center. Over every business you're going to, there is a demon ruler. And unless you and I bind a strong man, we're going to be hitting our heads against the wall. We're not getting through because there's a strong man there that needs to be bound and taken care of. Back in the outline, Daniel was unable to respond to the first angel. And the second angel in this battle group ministered to him. Daniel told the second angel that he was troubled, had lost strength, and was ministered again by the same angels. Verses 15 through 18. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face to the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then opened my mouth and spake and said to him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I retain no strength. For how can a servant of this Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, strength, but there remain no strength in me, neither is a breath left in me. Then they came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto you. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. You are beloved. We are beloved in Christ. God wants to strengthen us, move upon us. Verse 20. Then said he, know you, wherefore I come unto you, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show you that which is known in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holds with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Let me read to the conclusion that we have on the outline. It is important to understand that the chapter division of the Bible took place long after the Bible had been written. The original text did not have chapter and verses. These were created later in order to make it easy to study and make references to the Bible. Satan has built the command structure over each nation on this earth. There is an arcane commander with a whole battle group of demonic entities holding the nation and its people in a vice grip. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we pick it up in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we're up against. We are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you want to do business someplace, you got to bind the strong man. If you want to have business any place you go, you cannot just go in there and think I'm going to get. You got to bind that strong man. He sees you coming. He says, we're not going to do business with you. We're not going to give money to God's man. Will you take him down? Simply take him down, obliterate him. And you will find where there could be no business made, suddenly you are making business. You need a job. Bind a strong man. Whatever we are doing, bind the strong man, because Satan is trying with his demons to hinder everything to come to you. He is simply a plug in the pipe. And if you don't unplug it, you can sit there all day and say, oh God, and God said, take out the plug. And then the last statement I made here. This is why Jesus said that the strong man must first be bound before his house can be spoiled. And the strong man must first be bound in business, education, mission work, preaching, praying for the sick, casting out demons, and the list can go on and on. before Christians can operate in the spirit realm. Closing scripture, Matthew 12, 25. That's Matthew chapter 12. And you pick it up in verse number 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God shall come unto you. Or how else can one enter the strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Let me read that last verse one more time. Or else, how can one enter the strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Let me summarize this for you now. Here's what happened to you and me. Before you can have a miracle of victory, it starts in your mind with a thought. You need a new house. You need more income. You need a healing. You need a new car, whatever it is. You begin in your mind to say, this is what I need. Now you have a project. Then you got to take the next step and say this, I am beloved of the Father. I'm a child of the King. I'm not asking for luxury. I'm asking for necessities. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto it. I believe. I believe not that God has a solution for me. I'm not going to be nervous. I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to simply begin to praise God that I have a solution coming. Then you begin to pray, Father God, now I'm going to bind the strong man over whatever issue you have. I'm going to bind that strong man. Every day I bind him in the name of Jesus. I knock him down with his demons. And then you say, Father God, loose your holy angels to begin to do the things that needs to be done. And then you start praising God and saying, thank you, Lord, that I have the answer coming. Thank you, Father God. It's coming. It's here. And this is when God can begin to move. But when you sit in the corner someplace and you say, oh, man, poor me. Oh, I got so much self-pity. I feel so lousy. God doesn't love me. I don't know. What is it? You're going to get nothing. The demons are going to swarm over you like mosquitoes do at night in the summertime. They're going to be twirling all around you and say, that's right, you are nothing. God doesn't love you. You are done. You're history. Don't just sit there and cry. And then you get killed spiritually. You got to learn to stand up. Now, what's your name? What is your name? I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have a new name in heaven. It's written in a white stone, Book of Revelation. I find out my name is when I get there. But I got a new name. But devil, I'm a child of the King. You're defeated. You're history. Now, let's get moving here. Just move on. Move on. Get going. Because I'm going to have victory. That's the attitude you got to take. But as long as you have a defeatist attitude saying, oh, well, God, that loves everybody else. He would do this for that person. That would, but you know me? Oh, no. Well, call the undertaker and line up a time for you to be slapped. The key is yours. You can either do two things right now. You can say this, I believe in the Word of God. I'll be preaching out of the Word of God today, illustrated with a few things. But if you believe on this, stand on this, act on it, and see victory. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now. That, Lord, this place is a miracle that we're in. This is a miracle place that you're giving us as a church building. Father, we thank you for each one of us here. They are miracles that have been made and miracles in the making. And I pray today, Father God, for people to begin to have hope and faith. Lift their spirits up, Father God, and show them life is not over. Life is just now beginning. And I pray, Father God, for healing for those that have a need to be healed. Those that need, Father God, that have faith strength, that you will strengthen their faith. That, Father God, today will be just fire will fall from heaven here, Lord. It has fallen already. But, Father God, let it consume us. And let there be a Holy Ghost fire moving here, Father, that we will be able to change not only ourselves, but people around us. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. To my right, your left, you have prayer altars. These are chairs. You go and pray there for yourself. No one disturb you. You want to talk to God. If you want someone to pray with you, anoint you with oil, you come on up. The elders will be here. I will minister to you. Whatever God's been speaking, it's your chance to come and be ministered to right now.
Hello there. You might have some questions regarding Christianity and what makes a person a Christian. How do you get right with God? And how do you know that when you die, you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to say will help you in making the most important decision of your life. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now, you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone, including you, has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Here's the good news. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you could have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you're a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or even earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and know that you're a sinner, realize that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God, now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." You see, if you call out to God and confess your sins to Him, He will forgive you. Remember, what Jesus has done in the past, He will do in the future. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. What He has done for one person, He will do for another. God doesn't favor anybody over you, nor will He look down upon you because of what you have done in your life. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. If you have been listening to me and feel that God is calling you, repent of your sins and call out to Jesus. You might not ever get another chance. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today. A decision that will affect you for eternity. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. If you realize that you cannot measure up to God's perfect standard, and that you have sin in your life, and that you want your sins to be forgiven, why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me my sins. I turn from my sins now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thus you are saved not because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It does not have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and your understanding of the Bible. Find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and to support you. Be sure that they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Also, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with someone else. Please contact us and share the good news. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Christ. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled Part 10, Preparation for the Final Vision in the Teaching Series on the Prophet Daniel. It is available on CD or cassette, and when ordering, ask for CD or cassette number RLJ1066 entitled Part 10, Preparation for the Final Vision. Again, that is CD or cassette number RLJ1066 entitled Part 10, Preparation for the Final Vision. To learn more about Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, we invite you to visit us on the web at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. If you live outside the United States, call us at 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.